say.
Kiss me 'cause you wanna, not just to say goodnight.
Oh my God, I drove you crazy. Oh my God, I know I made you mad. Oh my God, I know I drove you crazy, baby, yes I did. Your dinner, every time I made a bed, there were 100,000 things that I know I should have said. Oh, like,
baby, you're the sweetest, darling, you're the one. So let's get down to business and let's make this house a home.
Yeah, but you lived upstairs in the office. Couldn't fight it any longer, so I just drove out in the snow towards the city we used to live in, the city full of all my friends, the city full of our old memories. Yeah, so baby, I'll see you again. In the eyes of other women, in the smiles of my chair, in the way they toss their head and laugh, highlights in their hair now. Oh my God, it's gonna drive me crazy. It'll make me just so damn sad to realize that we're both done trying and what we had now, what we have. 'Cause we drove each other crazy. Yeah, we made each other so damn mad. But the winds and whys have grown hazy.
Made You Mad by Clever Hopes and Andrew Shaver of the duo Clever Hopes, which is Andrew Shaver and Eva Foote, joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. If you want to find that song, you can check out Clever Hopes' website at cleverhopes.com or follow them online at instagram.com/cleverhopes. So, Andrew, that song is super awesome. And first of all, I'd like to say congrats on your release week. You put out your album on January 20th, and it's been great kind of following along and just seeing all the accolades roll in. So congrats.
Thanks a lot. It's been such a thrill. It's kind of been a long time coming in many ways. And so it's just kind of a dream come true that that the album, I don't know, not only that I was able to write an album and then record it, but then get it out into the world and have people care enough to want to talk to me about it. So it's really great. Thanks.
Well, and the song that we just heard, I read a little blurb about it that you refer to it as this. It's the kind of brokenhearted love song that might come too late to fix it, but just in time to try again. And I really like that. So that song, it's the first song that you and your musical compadre, Ava, worked on together. So take us a little bit through kind of that process of you wrote this song, and then you kind of worked on it with her after you'd written it for yourself. So take us through kind of what that was like, kind of sorting out that process.
Yeah, sure. Eva and I met in the months prior to, you know, beginning to work on that song. Mm-hmm. By the time Eva and I actually started working on that song, stumbled into the refrain of that song one evening, my life was very different. When I met Eva, we were working on a show. I was directing her in a musical called Once, that I would imagine your listeners are fairly familiar with, or at least have a passing familiarity with it. It's the Glenn Hansard, Marketa Orlova musical. It was a film that, you know, got shot on a shoestring budget in Dublin, in like 2006 or something, and won the Oscar for Falling Slowly. And then it got made into a Broadway show and toured the world. And then I was directing a production of it in Montreal with some buddies, some of whom appear on the album, with Justin Rutledge was acting in it, and Eva was in it, and that's how I met her. And we you know, got along famously right off the bat. And every night after the show, the whole cast it was a cast full of like super cool heads, a lot of my buds and some new folks as well. And we would just hang out downstairs, and, you know, Irish musical. So we were drinking whiskey and playing tunes. And I felt like I was able to contribute as long as we were playing covers, you know, and I could bash out a Neil Young or a Gordon Lightfoot or something. And then as the run went on and the nights went on, people started playing original songs, and that, you know, that was, it was amazing. And until I wasn't really able to contribute any longer, and I just kind of started passing the guitar from, you know, Eva to Justin, and then Justin to Eric DeGraw, and then Eric DeGraw to Matthew Rodsep. And I just wasn't able to really bring anything original to the table. And that, it really bummed me out. Like I wrote songs back when, you know, you and I knew each other way back when. I was sort of like, I was kind of writing songs back then a little bit, but I'd forgotten them all in the subsequent too many years. Yeah. And I remember, like, Eva was super supportive those evenings. And when I was just like, I tried one night, I was like, I think, you know, on a Wednesday or whatever, where I finally was like, you know what, I can't take it anymore. Tomorrow night, I'm gonna like bring in an original song. I'm just gonna force myself to remember. And I dug through old recordings and that I had on an old hard drive, and I was like, all right, there's one. Okay, I'll relearn this one. And I brought it in, and it's nothing I play anymore now, but it was the song basically that Eva was like, oh man, like, okay, you write songs. Okay. And I said, I used to write songs. And she's like, well, you should write new songs. And then I sort of set myself to doing that. I remember thinking, like, if we all get together in a year, I want to be able to play some original songs. And it was like a year almost to the day of closing that production that we went into the studio and recorded a whole album of my original tunes. And Eva was instrumental, as was Matthew Barber, as you mentioned earlier. The two of them were instrumental in sort of getting me there. And Made You Mad, the song that you asked about, after the production closed and a few weeks went on, it really wasn't that much longer. My relationship in Montreal ended, you know, not with the city, but a relationship I had in the city, and, you know, kind of with the city in a lot of ways too, for a while, which was kind of the big heartbreak on that. Like, kind of the big heartbreak on the album. It's like a love. It's sort of the heartbreak I felt for Montreal in a lot of ways, because I feel like I kind of lost that city in the relationship when it dissolved. And Major Mad is basically it's the catalyst for the album, and it was the catalyst for the move out of Montreal. I mean, it tells the story of the evening when everything went south, and well, it went south, and I head west and drove to Toronto. And I remember I was speaking to Matt Barber on the phone for a couple hours as I drove out of Montreal to his house. Really, I pulled into his driveway at around 3 a.m. And I stayed in the spare bedroom that so many other people had stayed in over the years. And it was, I think it was later that week that Eva, she was in Toronto. She happened to be in Toronto as well. And she had me over for dinner, and she cooked, really in a very poetic kind of way. It was chicken stew. So, you know, a twist on the old classic of chicken soup for the soul, I guess. And, after dinner, we got the guitars out and we started playing a bit. And that night, like I left that night with, the refrain for Major Mad, which is, "Oh my God, I made you mad." I can't, you know, it was, "Oh my God, I know I made you mad," or, you know, something around that. I was like, okay, there's something in that. And then I started working on that song at Barber's place over that week, and it started to fall into place. And I kept sending it to Eva, and I was like, "Well, why don't you write a verse about, like, you know, one of your breakups?" And because, you know, this whole verse is about this breakup, and maybe the second verse can be, you know, from your perspective. And and it, like, unfortunately, like I just kept writing the song, and it's and before she had a chance to sort of chime in, I was like, "I think the song's done." And so then it was all written from my perspective, in my voice and my perspective. And it was literally the day before we went into studio, a year later, where Eva and I finally got to sing the songs together for the first time, like in the same, because, you know, like after Toronto, I went to Australia for a while, and then she was, you know, elsewhere. And then one thing led to another. And then it was like, well, there's a pandemic going on all of a sudden. And so we weren't able to just get together and play the songs. And so we had one rehearsal, two rehearsals, a Saturday, Sunday before going in, but one rehearsal for Major Mad. And it was in that rehearsal where we sort of discovered that the song needed to have her take parts of the verses, and we flipped the pronouns around. And then, you know, as your listeners heard, it's the two of us singing with and at each other. And, it was just such an exciting discovery. It was, you know, for both of us, she's also an actor and we come from the theater. I mean, she's an incredible songwriter. But those sort of like spontaneous discoveries I'd only ever really experienced in a sort of a theatrical context. And that moment of discovering that with her when we were rehearsing Major Mad, and it was like, "Oh yeah, give it needs your voice, and not just your voice in harmony, but your perspective, on it." And, that was the spirit we took into the studio. And then it was in studio where we found that on that sort of notion. We took that approach to a few other songs and kind of chopped them up that way in studio as we were getting, you know, about to record it. And, it was really thrilling. And so that's why for me, I wrote the songs, but like they don't exist without Eva on them. And, you know, so for me, Clever Hopes, right out of the gates, was never going to be, well, it wasn't Clever Hopes until after, many months after the recording, actually. It was like Andrew Shaver, but that doesn't feel right. It's so much more than just Andrew Shaver. And so Clever Hopes was born. And I was like, with Eva. And I was like, "Eva, I really want to do this with you. Are you on board to kind of like come out with me on this album?" And And, you know, she said yes, and forever grateful.
And you've had some great success. I mean, you premiered that in September 2021 and got picked up by Indie 88. And actually, you did something very interesting recently, I saw. You put that song out in French. And
yeah,
that's super cool. I love hearing music in other languages. And so talk a little bit about you worked with another gentleman to do the translation, or can you take us through kind of like what that process was like?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. I was living in Montreal, and I spent the better part of my whole adult life actually in Montreal, the last 20 years or so before moving to Toronto. So, you know, French has been a big part of my life, and the woman that I was, I was with when, and then we broke up, and this, you know, it was a huge inspiration for the songs on this album. She's Quebecoise. And so my life was, very much lived, split between English and French, and that I feel really comfortable, in that sort of, with that sort of, it's not even a dichotomy, like that sort of marriage of culture and language. And even though I'm English first and I learned French second, but I just love it. And so I added a little bit of French to a couple of the other tracks on the album that we recorded, but I didn't have a full French song because I write in English. And because Made You Mad was the lead single, but also it tells the story of leaving Montreal for Toronto. And because it's such a, on the album, the emotional resonance of the duet, rings so loudly that, I thought it would be, and I've always kind of wanted to record a song in French. Yeah. I thought it would be a really good candidate. And then I was shooting a movie, a French movie last year in Quebec. And, I ended up acting, alongside, a guy who I'd known, peripherally, and he'd known me peripherally for years because he dated years ago, the same woman. And, so we finally met on this set, and, it was like 5 a.m. I was at the hotel waiting for the pickup, the transport to take me from the hotel to the set. And I looked at the call sheet, and there was one name on the call sheet, and it was him. And I was like, oh my God, I'm finally going to meet this dude.
Wow.
And he came out, and, he had done the same thing, and he's totally bilingual. And, he put his hand out, and he's like, well, Andrew Shaver, this has been a long time coming. And,
is the name Emmanuel Schwartz?
Yeah.
Name on the credits.
That's right. Emmanuel Schwartz. I hadn't said that. Yeah. So Manu, I was just like, yeah, man, great to meet you. And we just, again, we got along really well. And, the album hadn't released at all yet, but I had all by this point it was mastered. It was just, you know, we were waiting for the rollout. So I sent him the SoundCloud to have a listen to some of the stuff, cause he was interested, and he really responded to Made You Mad. And I was just like, hey man, I think that would be the song. Were I to translate one, that's the one.
That's cool.
And, and he was like, I'm on board. And so he took, a really, really solid first swing at it and sent it to me in like 3 days.
Yeah.
Not even less than that. He was just like, boom, he sent it to me. And I was like, oh my God, this is exciting. And he said, just, you know, this is just the first draft, man. And we can go back and forth on Zoom or whatever, and we'll hammer it out. And then we did. And so it just felt really great to get back into like a creative process like that and work the translation with him. And yeah.
That reminds me, I don't know if you know the artist Tony Romano. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but I recall going to an art exhibit of his once, and he took the song Imagine, and then he had people keep translating it from language to language to language. And then at the end of it,
Wow.
He had people record it after going through like a cycle of different language translations. So I'm always fascinated by it, and also too, some of the best books that like I love like German literature and stuff, and thinking of, you know, the great books that I love and that they're actually translated. So I find that whole process pretty fascinating of like, who's the translator? You know, I'm reading a Hermann Hesse book, it's translated. Who's the guy that translated it?
Totally. So, because yeah, so much of that person's perspective has got to be in the translation. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of French, let's play another song of yours off your album that has some French lyrics in it. The song is called Artifact, and it's also the name of the album by Clever Hopes. Andrew Shaver from Clever Hopes joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5.
She comes ahead like it's an artifact. Quietly, yes, and delicate. Another century's golden strains sheathed in cypress leaves and cardamom.
Thank you.
That was Artifact by the musical duo Clever Hopes, and Andrew Shaver from that band joins me tonight on Dangerfield. If you want to check out his music, you can go to cleverhopes.com or find him on Instagram at instagram.com/cleverhopes. So Andrew, you've had quite a week. So we were talking about how your album came out, on debut album came out on January 20th. And I've been kind of following along all the great write-ups that you've been getting about it. You know, you were selected by Alan Cross as one of Alan Cross's website, A Journal of Musical Things, as one of their four songs a week, and they get hundreds of submissions a week. You know, you had The Other Side, a song of yours, premiere on CBC's Q. And kind of what I found really interesting, like reading up, is that the people that write about your music, there's a great website, I read a review from Great Dark Wonder, a website, and people really, really connect to your music. And it's, you know, I read a lot about music and I research it a lot, and it's just been really interesting, like seeing how connected and emotional that people are with these songs. And I found it interesting. I saw that someone's actually even covered a song of yours, the song that I reached out to you for when I heard Shadow Waltz.
That's
A woman has covered that online. What's that experience like when you see these songs of yours, or you hear your songs kind of interpreted by other people? Like, what's that experience like?
Yeah, great question. Because I've always been the person, I've been seeing it from the other side of things, which is like, I'm doing the covering. And like, I'm like you, I'm doing the research and I'm reading about it. And I used to put music on the radio, and I would always be on the other side of things. And and so like getting in and like, you know, deciding to do it and then put it out was enough. You know, I was just like, if I just record this album, like having written the songs is enough. And then recording the album, oh my God, that's incredible. Oh, putting them out, even better. Oh, and people are listening to it. Oh, and people are liking it. And now people are covering it. It's kind of mind blowing. It's not false humility here. I didn't anticipate that, because there are so many other people that are putting out music and have been doing so for much longer than I have. That's for sure. And I honestly didn't know if there would be a lane for me beyond, you know, my circle of friends and family and maybe some friends of friends. And so it's been hugely gratifying. And I do my best to respond personally to all this when people are reaching out like that. And when I think the woman's name is Paula, who covered Shadow Waltz. And I think it's really exciting, and it really touches me that my music has managed to move someone enough to that they would spend time and take time out of their day and their life to figure out how to play the song, and then to do it, then record it, and then put it out in the same way that I did. And now they're doing it with my song. And yeah, it's really special.
That's awesome. Well, let's listen to that song. The song Shadow Waltz, I think I was just mentioning before that it's such a beautiful song. And I remember like when I heard it, it was like, it's one of those songs you feel like you've been like kicked in the stomach. You're like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. So let's listen to that.
And we'll come back. Wow. Share.
Yeah.
Thanks. Fault lines of a freeway fade out of view. The pounding of a bird's wings black streaks the blue. Whitecaps jump like static. Flotsam scores the land. Smokestacks cut like lumber. Charcoal chalks the sand. And you can't see the shade, for I love the shadow. Still you watch the parade roll by from the shallows.
soldered. Stone boys light up the sky. The air gets hotter and hotter. We lose track of time. But you can't see the shade. For I love the shadows. Still you watch the parade. Roll by from the shallows. Shades of gray curl their way out of the bay. And babe, if you stayed, laid out naked, we'd watch all the stars in the southern cross creep their way across the sky. We'd spot the fifth if we squint our eyes. Laid out naked, we'd suss all the stars that shift between us like the glass at our feet. I touch your hand and you're drifting away from me. I take your hand, but you're already out of reach. Ba-da-ba-da. Shades of gray curl their way out of the shades of gray. Curl their way out of the bay. Cut into your hand, you flip your lucky penny to watch it fall again. Ba-da-da-da. You watch it fall. Ba-da-da-da.
That was Shadow Waltz by Clever Hopes. Andrew Shaver joins me tonight. Beautiful, beautiful song. I love it. And so, Andrew, you've got there's so many questions I want to ask you. And maybe first is, so the name of your band, Clever Hopes, is from a W.H. Auden poem called September 1st, 1939. Can you tell us a little bit about how you decided on the name of the band? And a little bit about that.
Sure. You know, it's so funny. I struggled so much trying to figure out what the name of the band ought to be, and or oughtn't be, ought to be. And I knew that I didn't want it to be Andrew Shaver, as I sort of mentioned earlier. And I didn't want it to be Andrew Shaver and the Somethings either. It just didn't feel right. It wanted it to be a collective name. Even if the songs are mine that went into the studio, the songs that came out were no longer just my songs. The songs that went in were a skeleton of what songs came out. And so I thought a lot about it, and I've got, you know, I decided, here's the thing. There's an Andrew Shaver. There are a few other Andrew Shavers out there. So that was another thing. I wanted to sort of distance myself from that, because one of them is a Nashville based singer songwriter, Andrew Shaver. He's got the website, andrewshaver.com. And then there's another one who put out an album called When the Hammer Falls. That came out a while ago. And it's a Christian rock band of some kind, or folk band. And so already I was just like, I can't be Andrew Shaver.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking Drew Shaver. So I've got oh, Drew Shaver and the Sad Sad Fun, because that's what Eva, when I sent her the songs, she, that's the hashtag we're using. And Eva coined that because she got all these songs, these breakup songs, but there was something, she said there was something so sad and so fun about it. And she about them all and the whole process was just sad, sad fun. And so that became a kind of a moniker. So Clever Hopes, I was, so in the end, I was chatting with Glenn, actually with Glenn Hansard, and he said the funniest thing. Like I was just going back and forth about names, and I asked him how he came up with the Swell Season, the band that he and Marquetta ended up forming after Once. And he said that was just, that was the name of a poem from a Czechoslovakian writer that he loved. And, so I started looking into poetry. And I was reading W.H. Auden at the time, and I came across September 1, 1939, and that the poem opens with, I can never remember the adjectives, but it's, I sit in one of the dives on 52nd Street,
right.
Uncertain and afraid, I think, as the clever hopes expired of a low, dishonest decade. And clever hopes just like, it jumped off the page at me. And I was like, I think I got the band name, because I'm also a big fan of not using the, and right. I wanted it to, and I like, cause I like Slow Leaves and Shaky Graves and, Small Sins and those names. I really love them. Mm-hmm. And, I remember the last thing Glenn said to me about names was, he's like, honestly, in the end, it doesn't matter. No one gives a shit about the name. You name yourself whatever you want, and people, all of a sudden, that'll be the name. He's like, think of one of the biggest rock bands in the last 30 years, 35 years, or whatever, and how shit their name is. Yeah. U2. What is that? That is a terrible name. But you don't think about how terrible that name is. You just think about U2 now. And he couldn't be more bang on.
But yes, Glenn had wonderful things to say. So I'll read this quote he said about your album. He said, such a beautiful record, something you can just put on and go with. You can listen to it however you want. It can be as deep as you want it to be, and it can be as easy as you want it to be. What a rare thing. And so did you get to know him through your work with the musical, or how did that all come about?
Yeah, no, it's funny. I've known him for about 20 years. I was in Dublin with a production, a theater production. It was in 2000. It was not quite 20. It was 2003. So yeah, you know, basically 20 years ago. And my buddy Brian Quinn, who is Irish, lives in Dublin. I met Brian. I had met him a few years prior to that. Previous to that, in Paris, I went to a clown school in Paris.
Oh, I remember. And,
I left Queens and went to a clown school.
Yeah, and yeah. Actually, so for those just joining, Andrew and I went to university together, so we've known each other for 19, I guess. It's crazy. Okay, so sorry, back to
it is crazy. Yeah, well, so then in this production, I was wearing these fake, I think they're called Billy Bob teeth. You know, that you see people wearing these fake teeth, and there's like Austin Power teeth. And then there's teeth that are like hockey teeth where you're missing your two front teeth. Anyways, kind of like silly teeth. And I had a pair of those that could sort of pass as real on stage, cause at a distance, but up close, I was like, no one's going to believe that these are real. And so we were doing a show in Dublin. We were doing a show where I was wearing those teeth. And after a show, my buddy Brian, who was acting in the show, he's a musician, and he's actually responsible for the horns on the album. He got his buddy Kev Ferran to record the horns. So I was with Brian, and we went to Vicker Street, this, you know, the venerable, I guess you would know it, Mary. Yeah. It's just like, it's an institution. It's in some ways, I don't know. It's kind of like Dublin's Massey Hall. Maybe, I don't know if that's a good comparative, but we went to Vicker to see the Frames, Glenn's band. We were backstage afterwards, cause you know, Dublin being Dublin, Brian knows everybody. And as Brian says, in Ireland, no one's famous. Everyone's just well known. And so we were, we were just hanging out. And I was like, man, I really want to meet that singer. He is incredible. And he wasn't around. And so we were leaving. And so Brian, I put my teeth in just to kind of screw around with Brian. And as we're leaving, Glenn is walking in he's like, hey, BQ, and Brian Quinn. And Brian's like, Glenn, all right, this is my, and I got my teeth in. And he's like, Glenn, this is my buddy Andrew. And I'm like, well, I'm going for it now. All the clown training, you know, coming to bear. And I'm like, hey, Glenn, nice to meet you. What a show. And so I got these ridiculous teeth in. And he sort of like, he does a double take, but he doesn't say anything, you know, bless his heart. And because, like, I don't know, maybe these are my teeth. And so we have this really lovely conversation for about 10 minutes. And then at the end, he's like, well, Andrew, it was really nice to meet you. And I'm hoping to come and see your show. And I was like, oh, Glenn, that would be really wonderful. And I took the teeth out and I was like, oh, you know, what a really great to meet you, Glenn. And the relief that just like washed over his face. He was just like, Jesus. Oh, I didn't want to say anything. And, from that moment, we've been pretty good friends, like, over the years. And a couple years ago, he opened for Neil Young and Bob Dylan, in Kilkenny. And he brought my dad and I over and we went to the show and stayed with him. And it was just like, Ireland is like a second home for me, thanks to Brian Quinn and you know, and Glenn. He's an old bud now, which is, I feel very fortunate for.
Well, let's listen to another song of yours. The single that came out on Q on CBC last week, a song called The Other Side. So this is The Other Side by Clever Hopes. Andrew Schaber joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5.
Unfolding, and I've gone as far away as I could get without going home. Fall become spring, I'm upside down, it doesn't make much sense, but damn, it feels good on the other side. Trying to make it right down on the other side. I haven't slept for days, now I'm too tired to try. The kids and the dogs as they're passing by, and as I turn to make my amends, I end up bumping people on the other side. On the other side, I'm just trying to make it right. Slept for days, now I'm too tired to try. But damn, I feel alive. Tell me what you thought I was gonna do when you said I'm through with you. I know it's not your fault. Trying to make it right down here on fatal look. Then I take one last look to make sure I got it right.
That was The Other Side by Clever Hopes. If you want to check out their music, you can find them at cleverhopes.com and instagram.com/cleverhopes. So you have quite a great, actually, you know what I want to ask you about, Andrew? So There's a really cool story about the artwork for your album. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'd love to. Yeah, I could talk for hours upon days about the artwork. I'm just such a huge fan of Joel Gregorio, and his company, I suppose, because it's called Sovereign State.
That's like just down the street from where I live, like a block away.
Yeah. On Dundas. I love his work, and I've like long admired and supported, his work, you know, supported in terms of just like I've bought many pieces over the years, and they've adorned my walls. But I'd never met the guy, and I just love his aesthetic, and I love part of what he does. Like he's got these beautiful nature prints with, you know, decay and beauty coming out of it, and then he's got these city prints where these pieces, and he uses all. What's the word when it's when you are able to don't like in free domain
when something comes to the public, it's after that number of years where
public domain, images from the public domain. Let's say that. I can't remember what, maybe that's it. And he creates these really beautiful layered kind of collage, but like very refined. And what I loved about his cities, I've got a bunch of them, and is that it's they're all around they're all based on a circle at the center of the image, and then there's sort of stratification within the circle from top to bottom, usually on three layers, and then he places little icons and images from the city on those three layers, and then has these kind of invisible, very muted lines that connect them and sort of triangulate these images. And so for me, the reason I thought of him was, and this work, long before, you know, when I thought of him, I was just like, there's no way he's going to work on this with me. But like the reason I wanted it was because this album is in many ways triangulated between three cities, and it was Montreal, Toronto, and Melbourne. And so I was thinking initially of trying to work something like that. And I walked in to the Sovereign State, and I was buying prints. And at the end, I was like, hey, Joel, I don't know if you would do this. My name's Andrew. I'm writing an album, and I would love to like talk to you about the possibility of maybe, you know, if you would, maybe could you think, you know, kind of collaborating with me. And he's just such a beautiful, generous man. He was like, tell me the story. It wasn't like, let me listen to the music or what's your budget. He was like, tell me the story. What's the story of the album? How did it come to be? So I did. I sat down and we chatted for about 45 minutes and in the office there. And at the end of it, he was like, yeah, this resonates. I think I could do this. Cause he said, I do my work in most of my work, my creative work is done in the middle of the night. And if I don't connect with it, it's never going to happen for me. And so he said, but this resonates. I think I can do something for you here. And then we started the collaboration, and it was equally thrilling as recording was, because it was just a whole other artistic collaboration. In the same way that translating Major Mad with Manu was thrilling, is I kind of live for these artistic collaborations, and he just got it, man. Joel, he just got it, and he just the album art is it's called Artifact, and he takes little artifacts from the different cities and the stories. He asked me to write him little stories about all the songs, about what it meant to me, and he would ask me questions about, you know, different animals or colors, and then he just sort of put it all together and told this beautiful story of a heart that begins in Paris and falls down to Montreal, and then is caught and buoyed in the water below in Australia, and then bounces back up to Toronto, and then the sun rises, and the heart, which was black and white, is now, you know, is colored. It was such a thrilling collaboration, and I just couldn't be happier with the art.
Cool. And yeah, that's the kind of thing, like when your vinyl comes out, like people are going to have that on their walls, like as art, which is awesome. Now you mentioned collaboration there. And I read, you know, really nice quote about from Eva about working with you and, you know, your award-winning director and the theater. And so you must have just so many kind of inherent kind of collaborative skills that you don't even realize that you're doing. So did you find that like you were consciously maybe applying some of your skills that you do when you direct, or was it kind of is it so ingrained in you that you almost don't realize that you're doing it when you're working with other people?
Yeah, again, great question. I think it's the latter, which is that it's just kind of who I am at this point, having been, you know, working in a creative field, well, several different creative fields over the years. But at the same time, so just to finish that thought, for me as a director, I think I'm at my best as a director when obviously I have a clear understanding of the material and I have a vision for what I want to achieve, but then I get the right people on board to collaborate with, and then I get out of the way. Like I think that's been, I'm not going to sit here and say like that's what every director needs to do. It's what I wanted to, and I think my best collaborations and the best work that I've done has been that when I can get out of the way and empower and be part of empowering the entire collective to make what it will make. And like another, one of the beautiful things Glenn said when I came in was going into the studio, and this is sort of like open into the next part of that thought for me, which is he said, try to be a kind shepherd for the music in studio. Nice. Yeah. And he
that
said, made, let the song
be another good band
you.
Name, Kind Shepherd.
Kind Shepherd. There you go. Exactly. He's like, the songs will, if you're listening, the songs will tell you where they want to go.
And it
couldn't have been truer. And, and so I say that because I also, going into the studio, it was my first time going into the studio, and I was super fortunate to have just a killer band full of beautiful people, and with Matt Barber at the head of it, just quietly, calmly steering the ship where it needed to go. And in that sense, like I understood, because I'm an actor as well, like I understood like that that dynamic in a group, and I don't need to be the one leading. I just feel like I'll bring the songs in. I gathered this group of people together. Like, far be it from me to tell like Joe Grass how to play the guitar, or Steve Zerai what he should do on the bass. Like, that was never going to be the case. And like one of the songs, Corner Hotel, it's the only song in the album that doesn't have acoustic. I mean, that's what I play. I play the acoustic. And it's the only song that doesn't have an acoustic on it, because we came back in from the break and we were going to start, you know, breaking that one open. Mm-hmm. And Joe had found this like really sexy electric sort of groove on the electric guitar. And then Noah fell in on the Wurlitzer. And then Marshall started playing this like just like really gorgeous sit back beat with the shaker, and Steve fell in on the bass, and I was just like, there's no, I picked up the acoustic, and I was just like, oh, I don't know how, like maybe a better player probably would have been, I know how to put this, I know where this should go, but I didn't know where the song that I had written, I didn't know how to play that in this new groove that everyone else had found. And I was just like, oh, Glenn said, let the music show you where it wants to go. And so we were rolling, and Eva, I just looked at Eva and I was like, let's do it. And we laid it down. I don't know if it was the first take, but we didn't do many more than two or three. And that was just so thrilling. And so if you get out of the way, I think that's the kind of magic that happens. And so I thank all the years of like directing and acting for that. Yeah.
Well, Andrew, I love this new album. I'm really looking forward to everyone hearing it. Andrew Shaver joined me tonight on the show, Dangerfield on 101.5 and Indie 101.5. And so we're coming up on time here, Andrew, but for those who want to check out his music, you can find it at cleverhopes.com or instagram.com/cleverhopes. And it was great chatting with you tonight. The time went by way too fast. This is like, I'm like, I could talk for another 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I know that when I start going, it can take me a while to turn the tap off. I'm sorry. I'm just so excited to be talking with you. I'm excited to talk about the album, but I'm also just really excited to talk about you on this show. I'm a big fan of what you're doing, Mary. And I just think Dangerfield's so cool. And I love speaking about images and artwork. I love what you put together. The simplicity of those images that you put together on the socials is really special to you. So it's been a real thrill to be here.
Awesome. Well, you take care, Andrew, and we'll talk soon. Okay.
Thanks, Mary.
So we're going to end the show tonight with the last song off the album Artifact by Clever Hopes. And the song is called Interference.
Friends call us Indie 101.5, live from Hamilton.